Chapter 22. It was goddamn crowded in the bubble today. Rossetti knew that couldn't mean anything good, especially with weaponized Barbie and Ken on hand. Of the people there, some were part of Anchor Point's civilian governing body, department heads, residential area admins, intrastation commerce and entertainment execs, God only knew why. Others were representatives from the Department of Safety and Well-Being, what they called law enforcement on Earth, plus one very pissed off chief of operations who currently had the floor. They knew where to find that emergency access point. The light pen clipped to Jackson's cap made fleeting streaks in the air as she spoke. No one's supposed to know where those access points are. We don't even put them on deep detail schematics to prevent anyone using them to hack the surveillance system, which is exactly what they did. They ran a loop from earlier in the day. Jackson cut off, making an exasperated noise as she looked around. Oh, sorry, I forgot. Talking about anything that actually matters makes everybody's eyes glaze over. Did you ever consider that keeping these access points secret would make them attractive to hackers and thus more vulnerable? One of the administrators asked. There are software safeguards. Yeah? Who's going to pay for them? You? Jackson glared at him from beneath the bill of her baseball cap, shining the light pen directly into his eyes. The company's full of cheap bastards who won't even give us full-strength lighting. The beam swept across the room and landed on Wells, then Fox. Am I right? To Rossetti's relief, neither of them said anything. After hacking the security feed, getting the lockup code for the tissue lab was... Jackson snapped her fingers. Somebody probably wrote it on a candy wrapper and taped it to the door, or scrawled it on a bathroom wall. Fox leaned forward. They also knew where to find the inventory and how to poach our eggs. Who do you suppose gave them that information? Maybe one of yours, Chief? Jackson didn't miss a beat. You're a true blue grade A company prick, ain't ya? Wells stood up and turned to Rossetti, wearing the kind of expression he could imagine on a hanging judge with indigestion. Let me make something clear for you. All of you. She said, looking down on the room from the company's Mount Olympus or wherever she thought she was. The anchor point phase of this project is now terminated. Rossetti, you...
Colonel Rossetti, he corrected her.
She raised her voice. You will keep Hicks and the rogue synthetic in solitary until they can return with us to Gateway, where they will both stand trial for treason. To Rossetti's surprise, it was Adele Trent who spoke up, matching Wells' volume. What do you mean? The anchor point phase. You know as well as I do that there's no more alien tissue to work with. No, you have no more alien tissue, Fox informed her, practically gleefully. He gestured for Wells to sit down, but she remained standing. And it wouldn't matter if you did. You and your technicians are woefully inadequate for this job. Luckily, we foresaw this and took the precaution of obtaining our own samples, which are currently in transit to Gateway. Wells turned to Adele Trent, and Rossetti saw her tan had faded visibly. Some trick of the light? Everything you've done, you and your sadly deficient team of clowns, will be subject to review, weaponized Barbie told her, and Rossetti realized it wasn't the light. The woman's skin really was grayish. Something was very wrong with her, and it was more than indigestion. He pressed the emergency button under the table, neutralizing the bubble's privacy field and summoning medical help. Wells paused, suddenly breathless. Rossetti inched his chair back. Gone over with a fine-toothed... The woman started to fall forward, then caught herself on her hand, still going... Her head drooped and thick strings of blood-tinged saliva dripped onto the polished tabletop. Now everyone was pushing back in their chairs as the sound became an insect-like chittering. Was she having a seizure? Rossetti felt a flash of irritation. She should have told them. They'd have made environmental adjustments to avoid her triggers. Maybe she'd thought she'd look weak. But how did she think she looked now? Wells raised her head. Blood was running down her cheeks, dribbling from her mouth. This wasn't a seizure, or anything else Rossetti had ever seen. Apparently Fox didn't know what it was either. He was already down at the other end of the room, cowering behind a chair. Wells straightened up and began clawing at her arms. Her flesh rippled and writhed as if something under her skin was desperate to get out. Abruptly, there was a loud, sickening, ripping noise as the skin on her hands and fingers split. Rossetti's stomach did a slow forward roll as people cried out in horror and revulsion. Her hands clawed at each other, tearing off skin and muscle tissue, blood vessels, and finally the finger bones themselves, leaving long, black talons shiny with blood. The woman stared at them in amazement, then let out an inhuman scream. Someone demanded that Rossetti call for help, which set off a chorus of panicky cries for the Marines and Jesus by turns. Rossetti glanced at the door. Where was the goddamn emergency crew? Why hadn't they already popped the lock and come in? Wells gave another much louder scream that shut them all up. Then she raised those shiny wet talons and tore her own face off. Now the air was heavy with the copper smell of blood as the claws ripped away the rest of Wells's flesh, and when only grinning skull remained, the talons took hold of it and squeezed it until it broke into pieces. Sirens finally went off, and Rossetti wondered why it had taken so long. People were screaming and crying as they crowded into the part of the bubble farthest away from the monster that had been Wells. A couple of brave souls tried to force the door open, but it wouldn't budge. That's top-notch security, Rossetti thought, a little dazed. We can die and take our secrets with us. Alien Barbie shook the remaining bits of human detritus off her shiny, lethal talons, sending blood and tissue in all directions, some of it hitting the walls where it stuck briefly, then slid down, leaving bloody trails. Jackson Pollock, eat your heart out, Rossetti thought, feeling surreal as the level of hysteria in the room increased. He looked down at himself to see if he was wearing any of the late weaponized Barbie on his uniform and discovered Adele Trent was still beside him. Giving him a quick glance, she executed a perfect about-face and, with her back to the creature, vomited, forcefully enough to hit the wall. No one would mistake that for a Pollock, Rossetti thought, catching a fleeting whiff of bile before the dense coppery miasma of human blood overwhelmed it. Reflexively, he pushed the doctor behind him as the alien's misshapen head turned in their direction. No eyes. Apparently, it didn't need any. Maybe it also knew everything that poor, dead, weaponized Barbie had known, including which terrified human was Kevin Fox, still cowering behind a chair. He tried to cram in among the others, but they'd pushed him away. No doubt they thought he was about to turn into a monster, too. And Rossetti didn't blame them. It made sense. If Alien Barbie, then Alien Ken. Fox picked up a chair and held it in front of himself, shaking visibly as his partner, the ex-partner, Rossetti corrected himself while everyone else screamed at him to get them out of here right now, bared what looked like thousands of teeth, all made of gleaming metal. No, Fox said in a trembling, hopeless voice, somehow audible under the screams. The alien's jaws opened wider, and a second set of teeth telescoped slowly out of its mouth. It was smaller, but nastier, and coated in thick saliva. They snapped at the empty air over and over, the alien grinning at Fox in what seemed like sadistic delight. Fox whimpered as it took a step toward him.
Please don't. Susan?
The room went quiet. Watching the long, tube-shaped head tilt to one side as if the name had given it pause.
You know that name, don't you? Fox began to cry. It's your name, Susan Wells. You're still in there, aren't you, Susan? Yeah, you're still you. I know you are. And I'm Kevin, your friend. We're friends. Best friends.
The alien's misshapen head tilted to the other side, like a curious dog's. Fox went on babbling about always working together and being best friends, although he was crying so much that Rossetti could barely understand him. Did the guy really think there was still something of Wells inside that monster? The alien retracted the smaller set of teeth and gave a long, wet-sounding hiss that made Fox cringe and raise the chair.
Then he began apologizing, saying he wasn't threatening her with the chair, he was just scared. He didn't want to be, but he couldn't help it, and that was on him, not her. In a movement almost too fast to see, the alien batted the chair away and grabbed Fox up in both taloned hands. He continued to yammer as the creature pulled him into a crushing embrace against its armored body. For a few moments, it held the gibbering Fox in a travesty of an embrace. Then it pulled his head back, and the second set of teeth punched into one eye, going all the way through his skull and out the other side in a burst of blood, bone, and brains. The room erupted in screams again, jarring Rossetti out of his semi-daze. This was happening on his watch. It didn't matter if Fox and Wells had caused it. He was responsible for the safety of everyone on Anchor Point. Beside him, Adele Trent turned away and threw up again. Damn it, the emergency crew should have been here by now, Rossetti thought, looking toward the door. Rossetti came to flat on his back, looking up at the ceiling and gasping for breath. Someone had sucker-punched him and knocked the wind right out of him. Then he turned his head to find Adele Trent on the floor beside him, facing away so he couldn't tell if she were dead or merely unconscious. A hand touched his lower leg and he raised his head to see someone else on the floor at his feet, feeling around, blindly. The air was filled with dust, and he couldn't hear anything except a continuous high-pitched tone. It took a couple of seconds before he understood the emergency crew had finally blasted their way in. Rossetti lowered his head and lay still, waiting for the initial shock to wear off. It had been ages since he'd been anywhere near a blast radius, much less inside one. Once he'd left the field for Anchor Point, he hadn't had to worry about blast injuries. For the safety of all concerned, the rescue team would have been careful not to use more explosive than absolutely necessary, but Rossetti knew he'd still have to see that everyone, himself included, were thoroughly examined by doctors with combat training. Most civilians were unaware that internal injuries didn't always show right away, particularly contre coup. No civilian was going to drop dead of a brain bleed on his watch. He took a deep breath and winced. Damn it. When the shock wore off, he was going to hurt everywhere. All at once, he was upright, sagging between two Marines with his arms around their shoulders. Their faces were set in the hardcore calm expression of trained emergency responders, and although their lips were moving, he still heard nothing but that high-pitched tone. Didn't matter. He knew they were probably apologizing for the rough handling as they helped him toward the ragged hole where the airlock had been. There was a flurry of activity all around him as Marines hurried to evacuate everyone, getting them away from the thing that had been Wells. Company Barbie was now as weaponized as she could possibly be. Where was it, anyway? Had it been caught in the blast? He tried to look around for it, but his rescuers wouldn't stop. Just as they reached the ruin of the entrance, another Marine appeared, carrying a flamethrower. She stepped past him, and he craned his neck to see where she was going. He finally spotted the former Susan Wells, still clutching Kevin Fox's very dead body to itself. Then the Marine opened up on it full strength and turned Alien Barbie into a column of flame. It must have been screaming, but Rossetti still heard nothing. His rescuers had dragged him out into the hallway now, and they refused to stop and take him back, even just to the blown-out entrance so he could oversee the monster's destruction. He wanted to make them understand that, as the CO, he was responsible for everything that happened, even the cleanup afterward, but he was too weak even to try digging in his heels. They handed him off easily to two other Marines who put him on a gurney. They were gently strapping him down, and he saw Mandala Jackson half-carrying, half-dragging Adele Trent into the hallway, slapping at the Marines trying to help her. Someone needed to tell her she was in shock, he thought, and noted absently that his hearing had begun to come back. He could hear Jackson swearing, faintly as yet, but clearly. The daze was definitely wearing off. His head was clearing. Good thing, because he had a number of high-priority matters that needed immediate attention. First on the list were those samples of alien material currently in transit to Gateway, courtesy of the late company power couple. Normally, tissue samples didn't activate themselves and develop into fully mature life forms, but these weren't normal tissue samples. He had to send warnings to both Gateway and the Mona Lisa, with video of what had just happened to make sure they took it seriously. Traveling at light speed, the message would reach Gateway well ahead of the spacecraft carrying the alien samples, so even if it was already too late for the Mona Lisa, The Marines there would be ready to defend the station against hostile organisms. Unless, Rossetti thought with a sudden, terrible dread, Milisai intercepted the message before it reached the station.